It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. We're still talking Penn State. A big recruiting weekend. A couple other news items that I wanted to touch on. First thing, though, Greg, I found this just very interesting out of Chicago. And as I mentioned, as we wrapped up quarter number one, Jim Galante and I talked about this a little bit last week while you were out. But the idea here that Penn State could have just a huge 2020 class and that maybe big classes aren't going to be they might be more common than they once were, just with the transfer portal and, you know, the increased turnover on rosters that we expect. But what do you think about James Franklin saying that they can go to 30? And I think he said something about maybe even more than 30 in this class, just using those backlogging techniques when January enrollees can count towards the 2018 class and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure it's possible. Here's the problem, though. Are there really going to be 10 more guys that they want to commit to Penn State that will commit to Penn State? I'm sort of skeptical of that, quite frankly. I mean, I think that you look at the target list that we're going to talk about in a little bit, and there might be 10 guys on it total at this point in time, outside of maybe any new offers. But I mean, they'd have to bat probably 90%, you know, at least, to get 10 more guys in this class. I could see 5 easily. I could see maybe 6 or 7 at most, but 10 more guys just doesn't seem likely. I think that, you know, you can always keep that space open as long as guys early enroll. So we'll have to see how many kids from this class early enroll to count back against the last class. But yeah, it's funny. The NCAA tried to close some loopholes related to these kind of things. And it it isn't as easy to close those loopholes as you think, because whenever the NCAA thinks it has a solution, there's always a school out there that is working to find a way around it, and Penn State seems to have done that.
It's weird that the NCAA just can't get its stuff together.
Yeah, so strange.
So my question is, like, where does that backlogging of guys stop? Like, for example, obviously, we're looking at the 2019 class. You had a bunch of kids enroll in January. Those kids can all be considered 2018 guys. Can you go back to 2018 and guys who enrolled in January and then count them to 2017 and, in effect, create even more space as you go? All this is, you know, is to acknowledge your point that, you know, if you're going to be getting into adding 10 more guys, you're either going to have to bat 1,000 on your current target board. You're going to have to add guys to your target board, which is theoretically between December and February. You could reassess everything and go,
sure,
go get aggressive with whatever the market is then. Maybe they're not on your board right now. There's always surprises late in the cycle. But with that, you know, with that in mind, is there any kind of statute of limitations? Can you keep going back, you know, several classes and clearing more and more space?
Yeah, it's hard to say, quite frankly. I mean, I think that the rules sort of all have their way to be skirted around, but I don't know if you have to declare guys as a part of a certain class when they get to campus, if you can change their the year that they count against as it's convenient for you to do so if you need to. I don't really know the answer to that, unfortunately. So the one thing I would say is that Penn State obviously has done the research on this. Andy Frank is a brilliant guy, the director of player personnel and the main recruiting head honcho on James Franklin's off-field staff. So if he thinks that, if he thinks that this is a workable solution, then it certainly must be. And again, I have a hard time envisioning Penn State getting to 30 players in this class when all is said and done.
And that'll be an interesting thing moving forward is I don't think Penn State, the way that this past winter went, I don't think that that's going to be the norm. I think we're going to be able to look back on that and see that was just an above average number of kids who were in and out of there. But I still stick by the idea that Penn State will have, you know, on a national level, they'll have an above average number of kids each year moving in and out of there, because, you know, a lot of the kids have more options at Penn State because they graduated earlier than other schools and are able to kind of do some things without penalty. By the way, this is just an aside. Jim Harbaugh got himself into – kind of painted himself into a corner. I told Jim last week, I think that there's just not a whole lot of incentive to speak your mind at these events. Like, there, the incentive is, you know, let's just say stay vanilla. Let's not say anything interesting, because saying something interesting puts you at risk. I'm not getting into his comments about mental health, because there's just – it's a very murky situation on that. But what he is lobbying for is a one-time free transfer. And right. I actually love that idea.
Yeah.
I think you avoid a lot of this mess when kids know that they just have that one option.
Yeah.
You know, you go, you check out a school. Who cares? If I've been there for 6 weeks, I've been there for 6 weeks. If it's not the place for me, it's not the place for me. If I've been there for 4 years and I want to graduate, you know, there's just a lot of gaming of the system. And that includes the grad transfer role too, by the way, where you're right. just kind of like, okay, what major does that school have that isn't offered here as a grad major? I'm just going to do that. And a kid's going to completely reshape his education just so he can get that free transfer. You can eliminate a lot of that nonsense. This is a common sense thing.
Yeah, I think it is too. I 100% agree with that idea. I mean, there's the two schools of thought, right? One being that the transfer rule is not good enough as is, and that your kids should be able to transfer whenever they want, as often as they want, with no penalty. That's one school of thought. The other school of thought is that they shouldn't be able to transfer at all, and if they do, then they have to sit out a year. I mean, I think I come down on the former side of that. I think I like the fact that you give everyone a one-time pass to transfer as they see fit. And you know, if it doesn't work out for a kid after two schools, then what are the chances he's gonna find a fit at the third school? You know, clearly something's not working out if that's the case. So yeah, I think it's a good idea. I would have no issue if that was implemented. You know, another thing that they're talking a lot about now is the whole injury reporting thing, and that clearly isn't going to come to fruition this year. And you know what? So what? I mean, you know, there was an interesting story 247 Sports did recently about, you know, maybe, and I think they were quoting the Big 12 commissioner, maybe it was West Virginia AD, I can't remember, but basically saying, well, maybe we'll do a system that, you know, the coaches have to release every Thursday who's available, who might be available, and who's out. And that's all fine and well, except for, you know, when the first coach lists everybody as might be available, then it'll ruin that, and it probably won't take long for that to happen. So I don't really think, you know, are we always in favor of more access and more information? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not sure that it would have the intended consequences that some people think it would.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is the NFL has a really strong accountability process for whenever coaches try to game their injury report.
Right.
When the Patriots put everybody on their injury report, you know, there's some accountability from the NFL. The NCAA is never going to be in favor of having that kind of, you know, penalties and that kind of thing for steering people wrong. And coaches are always going to feel like that little bit of information could be the difference between them winning and losing games.
Right.
It's a little absurd, I think, but you know, at the end of the day, to borrow your phrase, that's just how coaches feel about
done.
It. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State football, you know, getting into the transfer process and the potential for a big recruiting class in 2020 for Penn State. Also kind of thinking about the 2019 season. It's not going to be long before we can say it begins this month. But as of right now, you still have a couple days left. If you've been hearing us talk about this and have been considering it, in gopsurv.com in the month of June, random buy one, get one. Brought that back in July, but it ends the 31st of July. You rent one RV for either the first two weekends of the season, Idaho or Buffalo. You rent one for that weekend. You get another one free for the same weekend. Double the family, double the friends, double the fun. For more information, you can check it out at gopsurv.com. You can call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 if you are interested in the ultimate tailgating experience. I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Greg. I don't really pay too close attention to watch list season.
Right.
A bunch of Penn State names came up on it. I think James Franklin ending up on the Dodd Trophy watch list. I don't think there's anything significant to it other than it's just the sort of gets that James Franklin needs to go base fired up. Like, that's the first
right.
thought when I see anything like this. I just picture whatever fragment of the Penn State fandom hates James Franklin. I just picture their blood boiling.
Yeah, no, definitely right. I mean, yeah, the watch lists are tough because you know, it seems like anyone, especially some of the offensive and defensive line ones, it feels like anybody that started a game last year at the FBS level at those positions makes a watch list. I mean, I think there was 80 centers on the Remington Trophy watch list. I mean, come on. They used to be a little bit more select. And this was probably even, what, 2 or 3 years ago that they used to be a little bit more realistic. And now it's just, like I said, if you're a returning starter and you played it all the year before at a Power 5 school, you're probably going to make one of these lists. So they're not really all that predictive in terms of what's to come for, what's to come for Penn State football in 2019.
And what's to come for Penn State football in 2019? We will soon find out. It's getting exciting. Training camp begins on Friday, so it's about to get real. It's about to get real. And I know later this week we're gonna touch on some of the storylines to follow as camp kicks off. What did you think of Franklin on the 4-game rule and the way they managed it last year? I thought that was one of the more interesting things he touched on in Chicago. But, you know, I guess the idea to boil it down is that, you know, they're going to more try to save 2 games instead of 1 game,
right,
with kids. You know, at the same time, a bunch of kids never really got that last game either. You ended up,
right,
you know, not being able to use it.
I mean, the idea, it sounds nice in theory to save the game for the bowl season, but you're trying to win the bowl game, so you're not going to jeopardize your game plan and everything else just to get some guys some experience. So, I mean, I think ultimately you have to be careful because, you know, you don't know when an injury is going to pop up and force a guy into action, and you don't want him to be at 3 games when there's 2 games left in the season. You need him to play both, and now all of a sudden the guy that was supposed to redshirt no longer has the opportunity to do so. So I think that's tough, and I think that's something that they're going to have to watch and monitor. But, you know, I think it's a case-by-case basis. Some kids are going to get that 3 games, and they're going to say, oh boy, this guy's good. Let's make sure we get him on the field. And I think you're going to have other cases where you play a guy a couple games and you're just not sure. So you want to hold off, maybe wait until the bowl game or the Rutgers game or what have you and go from there. So the non-conference will be a good opportunity to get some of those guys reps, and you'll have a pretty good feeling between camp and those games, which ones might go on and play more than 4 games and which ones won't.
And I think what you just mentioned, when you talk about a 4-game maximum, if you use 3 of those games, now suddenly, you know, that you have that 1 game. Okay, now you think about using that 1 game. Using that player again is not on the table at all. Where if you get up to 2, now suddenly you have a little bit more flexibility in your approach. Not even just in terms of burning, but leaving yourself options for later. So I thought that was interesting. I think it's a good move. It's something that you're going to have to deal with. I also like James Franklin's comments on Lackawanna. You know, your article on that was very timely, just to answer the question, why so many now? And there seems to be some good trust that went back and forth between Penn State and Lackawanna College. That's how you end up with 2 kids in this class, 2 kids in last class. Speaking of this class coming up, Greg's must get top targets left on Penn State board is coming up after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.